Now let me share the Christmas reading. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I have a question this morning. The question is, why was Jesus so special? And I think that that question, why was Jesus so special, deserves some good answers. And there are many answers, of course, for that particular question. But I want to share three with you today. First of all, Jesus was so special because he was prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. Long, long before Jesus was born, the prophets in the Old Testament said, there will be a Savior coming to earth. The Messiah will come. He definitely will come. And these prophets, like Isaiah, for example, who said, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He fulfilled all of that when he came to this earth. He was going to be like that, and he was like that. So what Isaiah said, by the help of God, came to pass. It wasn't just Isaiah thinking up a good idea. It was God himself speaking through this prophet, foretelling the future. Not by luck, but by the influence of Almighty God. And of course, there was people like Micah who said, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, out of you, though you are small and insignificant as a place, out of you will come a ruler for my people, Israel. Prophets in the Old Testament did two things, amongst many other things. Number one, they told what was going to happen, as we've seen already, but also they foretold. They were forthtelling. In other words, they spoke with conviction. This will certainly happen. They spoke with assurance and clarity, announcing this particular message. And that reminds us today that whatever God says, he will do. When God speaks through a person or through circumstances, he will achieve what he sets out to achieve. When God gives promises, he keeps his promises. And here's the first teaching point coming out of the Christmas story. We are to trust God. Trust Jesus. God said he would come to rescue us. God said that there would be a Messiah coming, and there was one. And because God keeps his promises, and because God is trustworthy, we therefore, as individuals, can put our trust in him. Not in our achievements, not in our gifts and talents, and that's good, but in him exclusively. This is the good news. This is the message of the gospel. This is the Christmas message, that we don't trust in our good works or our talents, but we trust in Jesus for who he is and what he's done for us. And that is a brilliant thing to say at Christmas time. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Come away from that and trust in the Lord with all your heart. So there is the answer. Why was Jesus so special as a baby? Because he was prophesied to come, and he did come. And it reminds us that God keeps his promises, and that this Christmas time we put our trust in him, not in anything else. Secondly, Jesus was special because he was born in a manger in a stable. Luke 2, verse 7, Mary wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Yes, that's why. That's why he was in a manger, because there was no room. But there's another thing to mention as well. Not only because there was no room, Jesus came to identify with the ordinary people of life. Sometimes we think of a manger as some wooden construction, typically in a Christmas card. But in real terms, that was not what the manger was like. It was made of stone and straw. It was like a feeding trough where there would be cows and donkeys and sheep, and it was smelly and it was noisy. And God, through coming to this earth in the person of Jesus, was saying, I want to identify and be with even the lonely and the needy and the ordinary. Not that the Lord has favorites. He doesn't favor the poor over the rich. He has come for everybody. But there were many ordinary people at that time who could have felt excluded from everything. But Jesus says, in coming to this world, I include you in my salvation. I include you in my ways. So this baby was special because he was not born in a plush surroundings, but in an ordinary place with ordinary people and an ordinary environment. Jesus was so special because it was God coming in the flesh to our world. And in addition to this, we know that he has come for us because we are ordinary people. Listen, nobody's too late, nobody's too early. Nobody's too sinful, nobody's too young, nobody's too old, nobody's too bad, and nobody's too sad for Jesus. He takes us as we are. Nobody's excluded from his message, from the gospel, from the good news, from a new life in Jesus. Nobody, no matter what we feel about ourselves, whatever we've done, he includes us in his saving plan. And that's wonderful. And this is why Jesus is so special. Because in many areas of life, people are excluded. They're not clever enough, or they're not sporty enough, or this and that. But in Jesus, he draws everybody to himself. That's why Jesus is so special. And thirdly, Jesus was so special because he came primarily to die on the cross. The Bible makes this quite clear. The main reason why Jesus came was not to be an excellent teacher, and he was, not to be an excellent healer, and he did heal people, but exclusively to save people. The New Testament always portrays these words, Jesus, Lord and Savior, not Lord and example, not Lord and teacher, but Lord and Savior, because that's why he came to save us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's why he came. And Jesus wants to be our Savior. And he did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. We could not save ourselves and change ourselves, but he, by virtue of his death on the cross, coming to die for us, took our place and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that's what the Bible teaches us. It is wonderful that someone has come to rescue us. Someone comes to this world to be our personal Savior. Not just our Savior, but our personal Savior. So Jesus is special because he was prophesied about. Secondly, because he was born in a manger in ordinary surroundings. And thirdly, because he went to the cross, suffered, rose again from the dead, ascended to God's right hand to save us and to change our lives and forgive us from our sins. That is the gospel message. That is what Christmas is all about. But how do we respond? How do we respond to this glorious thing? Well, I've got two things to say. First of all, there will be people here this afternoon who are Christians. And we know, we've heard this time after time, we know that we should be putting Jesus Christ at the center of our Christmas. And we know there's lots and lots of stuff to do, and there's lots of pressure and stresses at Christmas time. But we know, we are reminded on Sundays in church, we know when we read our Bibles, put Jesus Christ at the center of Christmas. Worship him, spend time with him. But I want to say, folks, it doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen. God doesn't read the Bible for us. God will not do things for us that we can do for ourselves. So we've got to say, I am going to do this. Jesus, you're so special, I want to do it for you. Not because I'm lectured to do it, because I think I've got love in my heart for you, and I want to do it to please you. Think of a circle, okay? You've got the center of the circle and the circumference. Put Jesus in the center, and all the stuff, which are legitimate stuff, sending cards and all the rest of eating food, quite legitimate, will be on the circumference. And it's amazing when Jesus is at the center of our lives, the things in the circumference at the edge are affected, and we are gain strength to do these things and willingness too. But what about us who are not Christians? Maybe some of us have not accepted Jesus. We've not invited Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Well, let me say this. You see, Jesus came because we needed him. We were lost without him. So when you know in your heart that you need Jesus, not outside there, but in here, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, when you know that you are lost and that you have not followed him properly, when you know that need, you're 50% there. Once you say, I need you, Lord. I want you, Lord. Then that's the start of the process. And then secondly, it's back to that word we used before, trust. You've got to trust him. Once you say, Lord, I know my life is empty and I need you, then we say, I trust you. I give my life to you. I trust in your work on the cross. I trust you for what you've done for me. And I turn away from the other things to you. I don't major on my works, but I major on your death for me. Turn away from relying on these things that are on the circumference to Jesus in the center of our lives. And when we trust and we say, Jesus, you are now special to me. Come into my life and save me from my sins and forgive me. And then Jesus, instead of just a word to use or an idea in our heads, becomes our personal friend because we've made a decision thoughtfully, weighing it up, of course, properly, inviting him into our lives as our Savior. You know, if I didn't share this with you today, I'd be a lousy pastor. I would be. I'd be a cheat, a complete cheat, if I didn't tell you the truth. What kind of person am I? And I love to tell you these things because that's what God wants you to know. I am going to be available after the service today because there may be people here and you think, well, I want to talk about this. I want to make Jesus my Savior. I'm ready to do this. Or there may be some people say, I want to ask some questions about this. Or there may be as a Christian person who struggles with the need to put Jesus in the center of their life. My job is to help you, not to condemn you, to help you. And today, I'm available to help you. So after the service, if you want prayer, I want to talk about it. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen. There are also some booklets here available for those people here who want to read more about the gospel and about Jesus. But just remember this. your Christmas, December 2015, can be special. Very special when you invite a very special Jesus in your life. Amen.